Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome into 106.7 The Fan for your live, local, Sunday sports conversation and coverage, although there will be plenty of non-sports things covered over the next 6 hours, I'm sure, as well. Pete Medhurst, Grant Paulson with you until noon. Johnny Cakes-Auville, Danny Ruye joining you from noon to 3 today as we continue to provide for you weekend shows with the voices that you hear on this station all week long. Pete, how are you this morning?
Grant, I'm doing great, and I encourage all of you same people that Venmo'd the very rich and famous Eric Bickle and Chad Dukes to Venmo Grant Paulson and I today, even if it's one penny.
That's funny. Pete, I got to tell you, buddy. This is one of those weekends where, for the first time in a long time, I have, like, nothing that I'm trying to accomplish. So we've been home. We've been during the pandemic doing a whole lot of nothing, basically. But generally, there's always something that I've got to do. Either I've got to go down and do something to help a family member or whatever it is, right? This weekend, I'm just chilling. So yesterday, watched the race. We got the double back-to-back races at Pocono. Got another one today I might check out. But I took a nap yesterday. While the baby was sleeping, I laid on the couch and fell asleep for like 90 minutes. It has been a very peaceful, air-conditioning, chock-full weekend for your boy. Not a lot of time out and about. Last night, when it was nice out, after the sun went down and it was just reasonably temperatured, went out and did a little yard work and cut back some of the bushes and stuff. But otherwise, yesterday was a pretty chill day for me.
Yesterday was spent in beautiful Laurel, Maryland, Victor's favorite town, and our producer. And I was umpiring yesterday, so appreciate the Maryland chill, the Maryland integrity, the Hughesville hustle, and the Northern Calvert Fury for all behaving themselves yesterday. And what was weird, Friday night, you know, my friend Ron Ludwig and I were umpiring Friday night. And this was the first, you know, big tournament back in this area all summer, because obviously nobody's been able to play because of the pandemic. And you would have thought, Grant, Friday night, because, wow, we finally get to play, we're getting out of the house, it's going to be great. There was no energy whatsoever. Maybe it was because it was a Friday night doubleheader that we did. But yesterday had a little bit more energy. But you would thought, it's almost like people are just tired, Grant. People are just tired of sitting around during the pandemic. God forbid those who have obviously been unemployed or lost a business during this time. I can't even imagine, the place that some folks have been in because of this hardship right now. But it was just great to see kids getting out of the house, getting some exercise and doing something, productive for themselves, because they've been sitting around the house doing absolutely nothing. And yesterday, even more so than Friday night, almost felt like a normal June Saturday, because that's what I would be doing on a June Saturday. I'd either be umpiring or my daughter would be playing. So it was really, Friday was a little weird, yesterday a little bit better, and a little humid too, good gracious, no doubt.
What's the age of the games?
They have, UTRIP is 10 years old all the way up through 18 and under, and these are the Maryland State Championships going on right now. So I had games Friday night in the.
So were they already really far along before the pandemic and then had to shut it down, so now they're picking back up with the titles basically, or have they been back for weeks?
Oh, no. They had one tournament at the beach last week because Maryland hadn't been open, so you couldn't do anything in Maryland. Down south, they've been doing a little bit more. I've seen especially some local baseball teams. I saw one local baseball team out on the play to go to Alabama to play. My man Mike Leshinsky and company are down there, down in Alabama just to play in a tournament. And I saw another local team that was playing in South Carolina. But here's the rub. They played at the Cal Ripken facility in Myrtle Beach. But the home plate umpire was umpiring from behind home plate. So it was two umpires. It was the home plate umpire and the first base umpire. Wacky play. First of all, who decides whether a ball's fair or foul down a left field line in this configuration? The answer is nobody. You just do it. And they had a play. They had a play where a guy hits a fly ball to left field. Guy catches the ball, throws home to get the runner who's tagging from third. But it's not the home plate umpire that comes down to make the call. It's the first base umpire in a two-man rotation. That home plate umpire would likely be going up the third base line if there was a play there. So the first base umpire rotates. Well, the first base umpire came flying down the line to make the call at home plate because the home plate umpire standing behind a pitcher's mound with his thumb up his butt going, oh, maybe I should have gotten there. But it's great hustle by the first base umpire to do it. But that just goes to show you what we're doing in some places. Delaware also put back some in-play restrictions where the home plate umpire would have to be behind the pitcher's mound. And it just puts the umpires in an awkward position because you can't adjudicate the game properly because, A, there's nobody calling the left field line. And in this case right here, if the first base umpire doesn't, you know, do some quick thinking, there's nobody at home plate to make this call all of a sudden on a tag up and throw home. So even though we're back playing, even in some places where it's warmer, as Dr. Bickle likes to tell us, if you're in a warmer place, you're less likely to get this crazy COVID-19, then, you know, you still got some strange rules that they're playing by in return to play. So, and what's it? But I tweeted this though, Grant. This tournament that I umpire part of this weekend. All of our great umpires with softball umpires in Maryland, John Dye's group with John Remmel, our signer. 87 teams, Grant, and at minimum, if there's 10 players on every team, and there's more than that on some. I mean, we're roughly talking 900 players. There's no COVID-19 testing, Grant. Nobody's getting COVID-19 tests, and they're playing all these games. And right now, you know, we have a situation where Ryan Zimmerman has expressed concern possibly because he's got, you know, young children trying to protect his family. And we've got other players who I'm sure feel the exact same way right now on the big league level. We're trying to we had NBA players that went through their first round of testing. 5% of them tested positive for COVID-19. The NHL allegedly had some very positive testing numbers from theirs where they didn't have anybody that had contracted the virus. So it just goes to show you on the different levels. We've got people willing to go out here, pay $595 to play in a tournament, and there's no COVID-19 testing, and they're playing all day. I mean, they're out at this facility all day. And it just goes to show you what we as American citizens right now, you know, how we view some of this action, because talking to a lot of the coaches, they did not have any players, none of them we talked to had any players that opted out because of the COVID-19 situation. They were more than enthusiastically ready to come back and play.
Yeah, that's what's amazing to me, and that's kind of what I was going to say, Pete, is, first of all, just the difference between places in the country where some have decided that they're just going to push forward and operate semi-normally, and others are much more cautious and you could say realistic or I just think, you know, conservative in how they're handling the unveiling of normalcy, you know, and getting back to what is traditional life, right? And I get that cases are going to be different in some states. They're higher in some states, and there's other places where there's not as big of a risk. You know, you look around the world as an example. There are countries now where they're playing sports in stadiums in front of packed houses again, or close to it, you know, where tens of thousands of people are showing up in some of these countries that have mostly kicked COVID-19. And they're somewhat back to normal for their sports teams. And yet here we are in America, and we don't even know if we're going to be able to pull off these leagues. But what I think about when you say that is, it's odd to me that, you know, you can have a conversation 1 minute with somebody, and someone will say, I'm just not sure if we'll be able to get Major League Baseball back. You know, six of the Phillies tested positive, or we had a dozen of these people. You know, if they weren't testing at all – how many of these guys notice, I guess, the issue? I mean, the thing with the, with what you're saying is, and it's easy for me to say this sitting in my dumb recliner chair today, but you know, mostly the people that are involved in these tournaments are at very low risk to have major, major issues. Now, I guess what someone would say is we don't know what's going to happen 30, 40, 50 years from now if 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old who handles this really well right now and doesn't have any real setbacks, may not even notice it, has very minor issues, what have you. We don't really know what's going to happen internally, their organs, whatever, years from now, and there's some fear about that, which I understand. But I guess my point is, Pete, we're sitting here today saying we're not sure if we're going to be able to pull off Major League Baseball, this billion-dollar entity with all the money and the economical good that can be done and everything that'll actually benefit society. And yet you look around the country and you got these games going on. I mean, it's been almost a month since Danny and I talked to an athletic director in Iowa where they were the first state to get high school baseball back in the summer. They were finishing their high school baseball season. It was weeks ago. And still at the major league level with each positive test, you got tens of thousands of people saying, shut it down, you shouldn't be doing this. But yet they're playing games in Laurel, Maryland, or wherever it was, it sounds like.
Well, they had four or five complexes all throughout Howard County yesterday because Howard County had just opened their fields for competition on Friday. But here's the thing, too. I mean, you know, we got obviously, I do a lot of work with Anne Arundel County Parks and Recreation, too. And you know, you got sports like lacrosse that doesn't offer a full scholarship to a player. You got all these parents that spend thousands of dollars from the time kids are 8 years old thinking that, okay, it's going to, I mean, and eventually, yes, it does get them into very good colleges. The schools that play lacrosse, for the most part, are excellent schools, great educations. And if you have the financial wherewithal to carry some of the tuition at some of those places, then it's fine. But you've got people that spend ungodly amounts of money in some of these, you know, select lacrosse programs. Throughout the course of a kid's lifetime from the time they were 8 until the time they were 14. Mine didn't start playing into the select level until he was 12. He had a great coach, guy's a Division I referee. Mike Hyland was a fantastic coach. And, you know, my son didn't start playing AAU basketball until he was a junior in high school. And he could have played Division I in both sports. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily make this huge financial commitment where everybody is so diehard and gung-ho, practicing illegally on turf fields that are closed. Oh, we got to get out there, especially in sports that don't even offer a full scholarship for you when you get to the collegiate level. And that's what always fascinates me, you know, about right now. Now, my daughter's team has started practicing. They don't have a tournament until July 11th when they go to Forest Hill, Maryland, up in Bel Air to play. But, you know, at the same time, we're not putting thousands of dollars into this. We're not part of and she's part of one of the best select travel organizations in the state. And, you know, we have soccer people. We just had a big soccer to-do about a director of coaching for youth soccer making, you know, $55,000 a year, the organization taking out a PPP loan so they can make their, quote, payroll for a youth soccer association. But we have all these people that are so gung-ho, got to get out there. And I see it every day. I see all these facilities where people weren't supposed to be out during the pandemic, and yet here they were. They were all over these facilities. So, you know, none of these people – there are a lot of people, Grant, that have had very little acknowledgement of COVID-19. It's almost as if you mentioned earlier, we know the facts in terms of numbers about the young people getting the or not getting it. Older people obviously have been hit hard by this dreaded virus. And – it's almost as if we still have this mindset in America where it's not going to happen to me. Well, that's not going to happen to me. And unfortunately, at times we've seen people who unfortunately have been bitten by COVID-19. And that's why I understand when Ryan Zimmerman steps up and says, hey, I've got young children. I don't want to potentially put them at risk. And obviously Zim's still healthy guys.
Remember, it's not just that he's got a couple-week-old kid, Pete. His mom's got multiple sclerosis.
Right. No, sure.
His point is, I can't even see her. My family can't see her until weeks after the season. So we're basically committing
and there's no guarantee, Grant. There's no even guarantee
a half
depending
year
on
not seeing my mom.
Right, and even you know, as you know, Dr. Fauci tells us, you know, there's possibility of a second wave. But Dr. Bickle will tell you if Ryan and his parents go see each other outside, it's okay. So you know, we'll see. I mean, and that's the very disappointing thing about this is we've had families that have been, you know, separated, for lack of a better term, in many ways. I mean, I've been able to go down and visit out on the patio with my mother-in-law and my father-in-law on a fairly regular basis, and knock on wood, everything has been fine. But even Monday night or Friday night, I got to tell you, Grant, that just to see, just to get through that first game behind the plate, I umpired with my Gator mask that I have, which is very thin, but very comfortable. And I did that just to get through that first game because, you know, I'm 50 years old. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, potentially drops one drip of sweat on a 14-year-old girl that's catching. And all of a sudden, you know, she has COVID-19, and I would, you know, allegedly be responsible for that. So just to get through that first game on Friday night, I wore the Gator mask. I didn't wear it yesterday. But, you know, it was just your mindset just to get through everything. It's a little bit different, and I think we still owe it. I mean, look at what's happening in Houston right now. Great city. You know, my son went to school there for 2 years playing basketball, and you know, they got thousands of people all of a sudden, you know, because the state of Texas at one point, oh, yeah, we're doing everything great here. Now all of a sudden, like, half the state's got COVID-19. So, you know, we still got to acknowledge this thing. We can't be careless about it. And I think that's the point with all of the different sports leagues. Nobody wants to be careless about this return to play. And certainly, I think we've seen Avery Bradley of the Lakers opt out. I mean, if guys want to opt out, I mean, I think you got to respect that right now. And I don't think these organizations can necessarily put, you know, pressure on players to perform here. And I wonder if behind the scenes there is any of that going on. I can't imagine, or I certainly would hope that there isn't. But, you know, hey, man, it's pro sports and it's big dollars. You never know.
He's Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. It's a Sunday weekend show on 106.7.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Pete, I'm Grant. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan on this Sunday morning. Another day, another viral video of a person going crazy in a grocery store because they've been asked to wear a mask. Did you see this one yesterday, this Trader Joe's in California? I think it was the first day that TJ's was open there. And a woman is absolutely going ballistic because she's being told to use a mask as she walks. She's walking out, escorted out by the employees, screaming at everybody about how awful they are. I'm really good about not tweeting things that I think will get any kind of like blowback from a non-sports standpoint, and I avoid politics on social media like the plague. You know, my goal is always that the less people who are going to be mad at me about anything that I think, the better. But I don't view this as political. Some people will, because for some reason in this country, wearing a mask and not wearing a mask has become somehow like a vote for one of the presidential candidates, which is absurd. But I did tweet about this, because, and I thought about it long and hard, and I'm going, you know, people are going to be upset. And I said, you know what, I don't care if people are upset. These idiots on these videos who are screaming at people and cursing at people as grown adults, screaming and cursing at other grown adults because they're being asked in a public setting, in tight quarters with random human beings of varying levels of health who they don't know, and they don't know what their pre-existing situations and conditions are, in environments where the employees are all mandated to wear masks, and in most cases, these venues are now mandating that people wear masks as well, and Trader Joe's is perfectly, I'm sure, allowed to do that because they're a privately owned company anyway. But I can't tell you how much watching those videos doesn't just fill me with rage every single time. And it's not like this is not a really even a take on like masks or no masks, although I could give you one of those if you want one as well. This is as simple as, to me, Pete, this is like the equivalent of someone who's refusing to put out their cigarette in a non-smoking section because I'm just going to do me. Like, I'm going to live my life and you got to deal with it. No, you're affecting everyone around you potentially. It's very clear what's happening here. If you want to shop, you put on a mask. By the way, it's very easy to do. It's not complicated at all. And then you get people that try to do a straw man bit where they're like, I can't wear a mask. I've got breathing issues. Well, first of all, most of the people screaming at the top of their lungs in these videos don't have breathing issues, okay? They're just you-know-whats. They're just pieces of you-know-what. But let's say that you do have a breathing issue and you're not able to breathe when you wear a mask. Then I would say let's find out a way to get your groceries sent to you or to get someone else to shop for you or go to a place where you don't need a mask. But to sit there and try to fight someone who works at the store, we've seen videos of employees getting punched and drilled, knocked to the ground, to sit there and scream at people in their face and go crazy. Anybody who watches these videos and their only reaction is not, wow, that's so embarrassing and that's so absurd that an adult human being is having a childlike tantrum. Anyone that's not their only takeaway is a silly goose. These people that are like, well, maybe they shouldn't be mandating. You watch that video and you see that lady screaming at the top of her lungs, you should have one thought. That person sucks. That person is awful. That should be your only takeaway. There's no other takeaways to these videos as far as I'm concerned.
Should never escalate to this standpoint. And the one thing I will say, and obviously, as I said, I wore a gator mask umpiring behind home plate the other night, 90-degree weather. I had no problem breathing whatsoever. These things, in some cases, are built so thin. I can't imagine you would have a breathing problem. And again, they're not asking you to cover your whole face over your eyes. They simply, basically, if you just put it over your mouth, you don't even have to put it over your nose. Just put it over your mouth. It's going to be good enough to get you through the store so you can get in and get out. You can breathe through your nose fine. Do it
not to completely sidetrack our conversation, but I think that would probably defeat the purpose, right? Because like sneezing is the worst thing you can do in terms of spreading.
Right. No, I'm just saying, Grant, for the purpose. Look, I've watched people go in places by pulling their shirt up over their face just so they can meet the requirement to get into a store and get out of a store.
Right.
This is not that difficult. This is simply a case of people. Who like to feel they're above rules and regulations, above the law and some certain standpoints. It's like people in a neighborhood who do things just to piss off the HOA. There's people like this in all walks of life.
Selfish. They're just
who are
selfish
very
people.
Selfish and uncomfortable to work with because of the way they go about their business. And it's just like I tell other people, you know, right now, the only thing you're responsible for right now is yourself and your own behavior. It's the only thing that you can guarantee. If you expect anyone else right now, Grant, to play by these rules and play by any rules, quite frankly, right now, then I think you're going to be heartbroken by it when you do go out there. Because right now, the only person you can worry about is yourself. Take care of yourself. And if somebody else wants to put themselves at risk like that, then unfortunately, that's on them. And I mean the Walmart video where the guy, you know, the senior citizen goes in there like, you know, hey, look at me, you know, I'm blowing through here in my dark socks and my shorts and I'm gonna blow right by you. And God bless the Walmart worker. He was doing everything he possibly could to keep that person from entering the store. But yet now a person's in a physical altercation when they go to work just because somebody
Pete.
Do it.
Every single day you go to work. If you work at a grocery store right now, you got to basically prepare yourself mentally and physically for one of these standoffs, you know, where these videos, and it's probably not happening every single day at every place. I understand that, but it absolutely can. These people that want this interaction, they want this fight. They want to be able to scream about how their rights are being infringed upon. Like they get off on this. And so what's happening is, if I'm just trying to go bag groceries at Safeway or wherever, I got to deal with this today. This is now my thing. If I'm a manager of one of these stores, this is probably more so than even COVID-19 my biggest concern right now, which is that I'm going to be the store that goes viral today because I'm going to politely walk up. These people are just doing their jobs. So, I mean, sometimes it's the bagger that just happens to be closest to the front at the time, some 17-year-old girl who just said, you know, is asking a guy to put a mask on because that's the mandate. And now she's getting screamed at the top of her lungs and cursed at, best case. Worst case, swung on in some of these cases by these people who are so angry that they have to do what the rest of us are doing, which is wear a piece of cloth over your nose and your mouth for the next 10 minutes. Really not that difficult. It's amazing to me. But I don't see this happening, and maybe it is. But I just get the sense that, like, here in this country, for whatever reason, we've decided that, well, let's actually have a big debate about how useful the masks are. Shut up. Let's have a big debate about whether or not it's an infringement on my rights to wear the mask. Shut up. In other places, they're just going, how do we kick this thing? How do we get back to being able to watch baseball? How do I get back to being able at Nats Park? How do I get back to being able to sit inside of a bar and pound a beer? How do I get back to, you know, being able to just do whatever it is I have to do? And it's all very politicized, and it's very much, like I said, you know, people feel like if they put a mask on, they're voting for one of the two candidates for president already. Is that happening everywhere? I don't know. But it is really frustrating about it happening here, I'll tell you that.
I mean, look, it's very simple. I mean, when you walk into an establishment and they have the sign that says no shoes, no shirt, no service, people abide by that with no problem. And this is basically the same thing. Just add this little piece of apparatus. Some of these masks are so thin that you barely even notice that you have them on. Again, it all depends on your level of health. What are your health issues when you go into store, especially if you're a person with a pre-existing condition? I have high blood pressure. To me, that's enough of a pre-existing condition that when I go into a store, and in my area, obviously we've got a large group of senior citizens that live in the area where I do, use the same stores that I go in. But I will say this, Grant, in my area, and this is, you know, what I love about where I live, the Safeway, the Giant, and Christopher's, the three stores that I you know, go in all the time, I've not seen any of these confrontations. I've seen people being as civil as possible, and, you know, I noticed, you know, myself a couple times that I'm halfway to the door, and I realize, oops, I got to get my mask, got to go back and get it. The thought never dawns on me right now to go into an establishment and be selfish and, you know, not only put, you know, myself and my family, I mean, I got a 12-year-old daughter. I don't want to put her at risk, you know. Like I said, we're able to, you know, see my wife's family and stuff down here, and they're senior citizens. We're able to do that right now fairly comfortably. But I don't want to put anybody else's health at risk either. I don't want to be the guy that accidentally sneezes, coughs, whatever, and God forbid somehow someone were to, you know, pick up COVID-19 as a result
point.
Of that.
A mask conversation anymore, like, to me, I'm just talking about the mask.
It brings out the worst in people, Grant. You're absolutely right. I know what you're saying. But having watched the videos confirm what you're saying.
Absolutely. But here's my point.
Because these aren't isolated incidents. This is happening in a lot of places.
All I'm talking about right now is putting a mask on or not putting a mask on. So someone will listen to this, and they'll think now they've got me all figured out and how I feel about COVID-19 and how I'm living my life. Sometimes a bird is just a bird, dude. Like, every bird is not a symbol in some literature class for what the bird represented on that particular page in that paragraph. Well, the bird meant freedom, and with freedom comes expression. And what does this song mean? Well, I think that the snow globe and the song represent... Shh, no. I'm just talking about a mask. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not throwing anything else. I'm not making any grandiose statements. I'm saying that we have heard now that we can slow the spread of this thing by wearing this piece of cloth. And because of that, states, many of them, are mandating that people do it out in public indoors. And because of that, a lot of venues all around the country have decided that that's the case. And then you got these people who just say, nope, not me. And saying nope, not me in and of itself, that's selfish and annoying, but it doesn't really bother me. You want to be selfish and annoying on your own time, fine. But when you go into one of these places to start a fight and you start screaming at people or swinging on people or threatening people or knocking phones out of people's hands, there's a whole nother level of blood-boiling anger that I get watching these videos of these people who just stink. And it's why we can't have nice things. It just is. Because people like this exist. You can't just get by. These are the people, by the way, that if they live next to you, they just make your life miserable. He's Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Pete Medhurst, I'm Grant Paulson. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making your Sunday morning hours. We appreciate you kicking it with us. Today is John Elway's 60th birthday. The first overall pick in the 1983 NFL Draft. Elway, 16 years with the Broncos in the National Football League. Threw for 51,475 yards, 300 touchdowns, 9 Pro Bowl selections, a couple Super Bowls with Mike Shanahan. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2004. Pete, I, as a kid growing up, was never a big Elway guy. And it's funny because my dad was never a huge football fan. Or I wouldn't even really call him a huge sports fan. He grew up watching and playing a little baseball in his family and went to games with his pops. But largely, you know, when sports are on, he's a tinkerer. He's more of a movie guy, whatever. But I remember one hard and fast opinion he had. Like, there's a couple things I can remember that were hot sports takes that my dad had. He loved Brooks Robinson. Loved Brooks Robinson. And the other thing about my dad was he did not like John Elway that much. Like, whenever Elway's name would come up, he would tell me he was drafted by the Baltimore Colts and he didn't go play with the Baltimore Colts. He basically, you know, held his feet and stomped his feet and held his breath and kind of had a temper tantrum and forced a trade, Eli Manning style. So for that reason, I was just never really a big Elway guy, and I guess I don't appreciate him properly. But if you look at his ledger, he had some really average seasons for a while before he got it going there in Denver. But he does end up becoming one of the guys that a lot of people who saw his entire career that are your age would tell you was one of the better quarterbacks ever.
Well, because he eventually, and I think sometimes, Grant, we assume long-term success because eventually you cash in and win a Super Bowl, and he did. He's obviously got that on the resume. The one thing you could say about John Elway could throw a football and literally put a hole through you. I don't know if I've ever seen a person throw a football harder than John Elway did. But even in college, you know, under Paul Wiggin back at Stanford, it didn't translate to winning for them. They didn't win a lot of games at Stanford while John was there, even though they, you know, I mean, that's a pretty average talent around him. But, you know, look, I mean, John was talented enough, and eventually, you know, Mike Shanahan found a way to break through with him, and they had some terrific pieces around him at that point. In fact, they had a much better, well-rounded team. You know, but I mean, John did get them to the precipice an awful lot. They were right there in the playoffs. They just couldn't win the big game for a while there with Denver. So I mean, I don't necessarily have any problem with the guy's career. Going back to the Colts thing, at that time, who would you, in the early 80s, who would you have rather played for? The Colts or the New York Yankees baseball organization at that time? That was the choice that was presented to John, and John used the threat of going to the Yankees so he didn't have to go to the Colts and try to force a trade that eventually would happen there. And, you know, the rest is history. And I think John made the right decision because John was probably not going to make it big as a baseball player, certainly not to the level that he did as a football player. So he leveraged that situation very well, and things obviously worked out for him. He's got an NFL Hall of Fame career as a result of it.
Yeah, I mean, at that time as a kid, you kind of go along with what you hear. And I know when I was a little bit older and Eli Manning pulled off the same thing, I didn't really hold that against Eli. You know, where he was drafted by the Chargers, didn't want to go and play there, wanted to be a New York Giant. And I have conflicting feelings to this day about that because players get no say over really their situation at all. And while I think it's a great thing that you get drafted in the NFL, it never really sits right with me when guys decide, like say Joe Burrow was of the belief he was not going to be a Cincinnati Bengal no matter what. And he basically just guaranteed them, I'll never report, I'll never play, it's not going to happen. Obviously, he doesn't have the leverage of an Elway with the other sport, as you mentioned. But I can get that if you think your career is doomed because you're getting drafted by the Bengals and you don't want to play there, you'd like to have a shot somewhere else. But at the same time, I always remember those guys as the dudes who didn't, you know, play by the rules, basically. The guys we were talking about, you know, the people that get upset about wearing a mask, that feel like they're above the law. Everyone else gets drafted, they go report, they go play in the NFL. But you're special, John Elway. You know, Eli Manning, the Manning family, your dad was a quarterback, your brother's a beast. You're special for some reason. You do it your own way. I kind of always am annoyed by that, and it's something I'll always remember about Eli. It's not the first thing I think of when I think of him now. But if I'm asked to give an elevator pitch on Eli Manning, it's going to make the cut between floors one and floor four when you get off the elevator.
Look, I mean, essentially the rules are so teams that are bad don't stay bad, or at least give them the opportunity not to stay bad. I mean, if everybody – and I think we're set – you know, we've got dangerous precedents going on in you know, guys forcing their way out of cities now in multiple sports, you know. And I think in some cases it's a dangerous precedent. Those franchises in some cases will never be good if the best players always say, I'm not playing here, you need to trade me. I mean, why does a New Orleans exist if Anthony Davis is going to ask out before his contract is up with that team? It almost makes me want to go back to, you know, the situation with Jamal Adams right now. You know, if you want, if play for your pay. You know, you're a 20. Say you're a $15 million player this year because of the year that you had last year. But then the following season, your play doesn't live up to that. Well, you take less the next season. I mean, we're getting to that point where I just assume pay these guys on a year-by-year basis, pay what you earn, because that way, you know, you got a guy that is 2 years into a four-year contract with a fifth-year option, and everybody's, well, he's already outplayed the contract. Well, you know, let's make it better for everybody. Let's shorten it up. Play for your pay. If you're great, you get paid. If not, you take a pay cut, plain and simple. Tired of these guys just wanting to get out of a city, you know, 2 years into a five-year deal. Well, you signed a five-year deal or a six-year deal to play with that franchise in that city.
Yeah, and I'm with the players a lot of the time. But one thing that I don't have as much patience for, to your point, is when you are paid handsomely and you get rewarded for being good. Now, it's a different story if you've been drafted, you're a running back, you're getting run into the ground, you're getting paid, you know, 30th best money among running backs and you're Saquon Barkley-type usage or something, and you want a payday and you're willing to hold out, I get that. If you're a wide receiver who was drafted in the late rounds or signed for a pittance and now you came here and you flourished and you're a beast, and you want a payday that rewards you and pays you like you're supposed to be paid, I completely get that as well. Where you're talking about, though, and I think you're right, that can be frustrating is kind of the Trent Williams thing, where I've paid you over $90 million. You got one of the massive contracts on the old rookie wage scale when you were drafted fourth overall. I've given you a couple of extensions at the time, paying you among the elites, the highest paid left tackle in football. And now, with a couple of years left on your deal, you want another payday because other people have been paid since you last got paid. You went through the lunch line, and you got your food, and you just sat down at the table, but you see that other people after you have gotten more food, so now you want to get up and go get more food again. No, eat your food and then come back. So I get what you're saying. But Elway, by the way, already won a championship as an executive. He has not been all that good at picking quarterbacks. There's a lot of things he hasn't done very well. But he kind of lucked into the fact that because he's John Elway and Denver was a good landing spot for Peyton Manning, he came there and turned them into a juggernaut. Since Peyton Manning left, though, I mean, you look at like Trevor Siemian, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brock Osweiler, it's been a debacle. He's got to, I would say, start making some moves that prove that he can evaluate the position.
I think he's got one. I mean,
third or fourth in the division the last four seasons now. He picked the wrong guy, I think, in Vance Joseph, who he fired after 2 years. And now Vic Fangio, who I like, who finished second last year at 7-9. They got to prove that they picked the right guy there.
I need to see more out of the entire operation there. I mean, you know, when Vic Fangio looks around and says, you know, he doesn't think there's a race problem in terms of hiring and stuff like that in the National Football League. I mean, Vic's got to get out of the bubble, man. I'll be interested to see where that goes. I love Drew Lock. For years on the It's College Football podcast, Joe Miller and I talked about him. I love the kid. I think they've surrounded him now with some really nice weaponry in Denver. So if the coaching staff puts together a good enough, you know, system for him, I think Drew Lock has the goods to get them going in a forward direction out there finally in Denver offensively.
He's Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
At the top of the hour, we can talk about the fact that NBA players are going to get to put messaging, words, things that aren't their last name on the back of their jerseys in their Orlando bubble return to play for the remainder of the season. Some baseball players are saying that they would like to see something similar done. We can get into that in more detail, but I'll just say kind of off the top here, Pete, that I want sports to experiment right now. Ryan Zimmerman said as much. He made a statement in his journal he did for the Associated Press, and the lead that came out of that was that he's not sure if he's going to play or not. And I'd have to presume he's making his final decision this weekend because players have to report July 1st. Now, he, unlike a lot of guys, doesn't have to do a whole lot of traveling to get to Washington, D.C., already living here in McLean. But Wednesday is when players are going to have to show up at Nats Park. So he's going to have to know what he's going to do. But as part of that statement that everyone was talking about, where he came out and said he wasn't sure if he's going to play, he suggested that the sport does experiment and do as many things as they can to try to just see what works and what doesn't. He says if there's things we've thought about or we've thrown out there in the past, this is a really good sample size here. Try to figure that out. So I'm all for the NBA or anybody else getting creative or getting cute here if they want to try something.
No doubt, short sample size. Obviously, it's not going to be a long-term deal. No question, it's a great time to experiment. And look, I mean, we've talked about this in baseball, you know, ad nauseum for years. It's been one of the hot topics, obviously, for people to call in about how do we make the game, quote, shorter without compromising the integrity of the game and the way it's played. It's certainly a great challenge because we want the fans to be entertained. We don't want them to be at the ballpark for 4 hours, though. It's just a long time. I mean, heck, you get a four-hour game, and everybody's miserable almost by the time they leave the game. It's hard for people to keep their kids' attention spans if you bring a young fan to a game. The question is, Grant, what is realistic about from an experimentation standpoint? What can we do besides, you know, a shorter pitch clock? I don't like demanding that a manager use a pitcher for 3 straight batters and all that other stuff. I mean, I don't look at myself as a purist or anything like that, but I do look at baseball strategy. We have right-handers and we have left-handers because, especially in the game, we want left-handers to pitch to left-handers. We want right-handers to pitch to right-handers and things of that nature. But, you know, it's a great time to experiment because we're only playing 60 games. I know some people who aren't really familiar with the international tiebreaker, you know, are already, you know, oh, I can't believe we're going to, you know, put a guy on second base and that ruins the integrity of the game. Look, man, we're just trying to, we're trying right now, A, to have a game, and we're just trying not to be there, you know, starting at 7 o'clock, and we're not trying to be there at midnight. We're not trying to use up pitchers who've not had their normal spring training regimen. We're not trying to use them up playing 15, 16-inning baseball games. So perfect way, in my mind, to experiment with something like that that we're already using on the international and amateur levels as well.
Pete and Grant with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are on Twitter if you want to hit us up today. I'm at Grant H. Paulson if you want to keep the conversation going on social. Pete is at Pete Medhurst, so we can get into that in a little bit more detail coming up at the top of the hour. So what are you? What's your setup? I'm wondering, because you were watching TV, it sounded like, during the break. Are you in, like, an office where you've got a TV? Where
yes.
do you broadcast from? Where do you do your updates from?
I broadcast from my little den on the first floor of my domicile. I've got my computer. I've got my Comrex off to my left. I got my printer to my left. I've got a view of the pool in the backyard out here, and I got a TV to my right. And I got my associate producer, Bella, who is always by my side laying on the floor every single time I do a broadcast.
So she'll just chill next to you most of the show?
She will follow me wherever I go. I mean, she's
no
attached
barking,
to me.
No noise.
She's attached to me like the. Well, she barks if people show up outside that she doesn't know. She's the best security dog. There's no doubt about it. If a squirrel comes up on the front porch, we know about it.
Yeah, so. That's Fiona hates squirrels. She wants to chase down some squirrels. That's her big thing. She goes absolutely bonkers. She'll get up in the window, and you just know. When you walk over to grab her, because she doesn't bark much, but if there is a squirrel, she just gets out of her mind, beside
yeah.
herself, crazy.
Well, Bella will do the same thing. We were out for a walk last night, and we encountered a deer, you know, as we got to the end of our street and made the turn, and, you know, as soon as she sees the deer, she wants to go play, you know, and I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea. You know, you get kicked in the head, and it could be all over with. So we have a lot of deer, obviously, in our neighborhood. We got wildlife of all kinds. In our neighborhood. So live in a great hood, live in a great area out in the country. So you see a lot of great stuff. And, you know, whenever I let Bella outside, she will take off in a Usain Bolt-like sprint, chasing squirrels up trees and things of that nature. So
looking forward to breaking down what the NBA is going to be doing and what kind of things we could see on the back of player jerseys, how creative they might get. Next with Pete right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.